Hit him with the intro.
Hey, I'm Sutton. That is John. This is the Self-Care Disciples Podcast.
We put out episodes weekly. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon. And also YouTube, finally. So, highly encourage you guys to go watch the episode because it's a lot of fun.
Watching them is way better. When you're there, leave a comment. Give us a 5-star review. Do anything you can to help us appease those algorithm gods.
Do it. And just want to say thank you for tuning in. We're going to go into our merch update, and then we're going to go into our check-in.
Hell yeah. I don't have a merch update, John, so you hit us with yours and or anything you'd like to talk about before our check-in.
On the fly, I do want to show off this t-shirt.
That is sick. All right, for our viewers, and then, John has a half-woman, half-devil shirt on. She's smoking a cigarette. She's got flames and florals around her. It says Sleep Terror Clothing across the bottom. It's sick as fuck. I'm actually pretty jealous that I don't have this one. I'm probably going to have to order one right after the show.
And I think it goes really well with the Nick Cage shorts.
Bro, the Nick Cage shorts are ballin'. Hey, just make it for our viewers. Make a clap real quick. Just once. Make a clap.
I can't. I have no ass.
Okay. That's the Asian.
I'm trying. It is.
You have no butt. You know, I once dated a girl that said, "You'll never see a fat Asian." And I didn't date her very long after that because I realized she was racist. But immediately after she said that, I was like, have you never seen a sumo wrestler, or have you never like just been anywhere? Because everyone's fat. There's a fat version of everything and everyone. What the fuck is your
I'm right here. Well, I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm fat. I'd say I'm thick.
First of all, if you're anything fat, it's with a pH, my friend. But anyways, so your merch update is just that.
It's just the Devil in Disguise t-shirt that I'm rocking.
Devil in Disguise. I like that.
Yeah. You know, hail Stan. I do want to use the merch update to talk about something that we talked about 2 episodes ago when we were doing my interview.
Yes. And we didn't get back into it.
Right. Just because I don't want to lose this opportunity. And then next thing you know, we forget about it and 5 episodes go by and, you know, anyway, I wanted to tell you the 7 hermetic principles. I have them up right here because I think you will. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Because I think you will appreciate them. So I'm going to just read them out real quick. Number 1, the principle of mentalism. The all is mind. The universe is mental. Number 2. The principle of correspondence, as above, so below, as below, so above. Number 3, the principle of vibration. Nothing rests. Everything moves. Everything vibrates. The principle of polarity. Everything is dual. Everything has poles. Everything has pairs of opposites.
Okay.
Number 5, the principle of rhythm. The pendulum swing manifests in everything. The measure of the swing to the right is the measure of the swing to the left. Left. Rhythm compensates.
Okay.
The principle of cause and effect. Every cause has its effect. Yeah, this is number 6. Every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. And number 7, which I really like, gender is in everything. Everything has its masculine and feminine principles. Gender manifests on all planes.
Okay.
So the 7 hermetic principles are supposedly all embedded within Baphomet.
Okay.
Like just the imagery is supposed to encompass all 7 of those principles.
I get it. Okay, cool. I really like that. I feel like the only one that I feel like is a little weird is the 7th one. I understand it, but I can see how a lot of people will probably be like,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
you also have to remember
problematic one.
You also have to remember these principles came out in like the 14th century.
I was also going to say there were a lot of different beliefs then than there are now. And a lot of things have evolved since then. So That's cool. And a lot of people don't realize that you can follow something, you can believe in something and not necessarily have to practice and or recognize and agree with all of it. So that's pretty cool. Thank you for telling us those, or else we would have forgot about it. Four episodes deep, just like you said.
I think I'm going to actually have to print and frame one of these or buy one of these. I know someone who makes like all the principles and Gnostic.
What if you did that for magic. Sleep Terror? That'd be a really cool
thing. I thought about it.
I'd love that.
I have thought about stuff like that, and I am brainstorming some more like actual magical concepts. Because
we gotta get you a print section, bro.
I know.
I got a printer.
I'm working on it.
Happen. Let's make it.
I was gonna actually buy a printer, but if we can do business, you know, I'll send you prints to print if you want to send them back to me.
You damn skippy.
And we both win.
I'm down with that. Hell yeah. I'd love to do that. I print all of Diggy's prints too. Anything I can do to help a homie out and use that printer, man, I've put that thing through the ringer. Anyways, let's get into our check-in. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
No, hit us.
All right. Today was good. It's been a couple of weeks since we did an episode, so we took a week off. We needed it, and I think that you guys understand due to our last episode being about burned out. And if you haven't listened to that one, go and listen to it. It's a really good one. Check it out on YouTube especially. Anyway, I went and did my guest spot. It was great. I did a lot of great tattoos there, got some new clients, met some new friends, went and had some great food. Something I'm proud of from that trip was speaking my mind and telling someone how I felt in a situation that was uncomfortable and doing it anyways because it needed to be done and they needed to hear it and I needed to say it. And I think we both grew from it. So that was cool. Something I'm also proud of is today, as of today at like 4 p.m., I am 100% officially divorced.
I was actually about to call you out. I was actually about to call you out to not do like,
oh, damn it. Because you want to add them?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think
people like when I do them. So, you know, we'll just do them every once in a while.
No, like you know what I'm going to do for... I know you do. You know what I'm going to do? You're going to get a clap. You're going to get an explosion.
Oh.
You're going to get sirens. You're going to get the whole kit and caboodle.
Anyways, if you want me to just sit here and be like the Police Academy dude, I'll do that. Because that would be like my dream job.
Oh my God.
Anyways. insert explosion. I'm divorced now, which is great. For all you ladies looking, don't, because I'm celibate and not dating. But I do have like a really weird, I don't know, it was just a weird feeling getting that text from her being like, hey, I just got the papers, it's official. And I was like, oh, well, congratulations. Like you can get your old name back and like move on. And I'm happy for you and yada, yada. And, you know, we like exchanged some heartfelt words, you know, just like, hey, you know, sorry it didn't work out, but shit happens. Life is what it is. We are both happy to have the time we had together. So I'm proud of them for recognizing that it wasn't anyone's fault. It was just, we grew apart and sometimes love is not enough in a relationship. And you have to put a lot more work into it than you realize. So we did what we could, and we had a really, really great relationship for a long time. Definitely the best relationship I've ever had, but also just wasn't what I needed anymore, and vice versa. They didn't need it anymore either. So something I practiced for self-care today was just You know what? I don't even know. I guess setting my intentions. I did that today for the first time in like a few days because I've been forgetting. And because I did that and said it out loud, Dad was like, you know what? Thank you for saying that because I've been forgetting to do that too. So proud of Dad for setting his intentions today too. I've been forgetting to do it in the morning and it's really important. So that's my check-in. That's all I've got on that.
That's a good check-in, man. I mean, honestly, through us talking on the podcast, I can feel how much you've like grown, you know, like,
yeah.
It sounds like you're ready to just kind of tackle the next adventure, next journey.
Yeah, man, I'm ready to, just do what needs to be done to make my business grow and help all the people around me get where they need to be, because that's where I need to go, is far higher than where I am in order to be in like another place of wanting a relationship or anything like that. I don't care about that at all right now. It's the best freeing feeling I've had in a long time too. Not feeling like I need someone to be able to function, because that's how I felt for so long. Like I needed to be in a relationship in order for everything else to fall into place. But now I'm in the opposite realm, except I'm not even thinking about the relationship or sex or anything. And not thinking about sex, it actually, thinking about it kind of curses me out. I'm almost like, do I want to put myself in those situations again where this person's doing this to me and I'm having to do that to them? And like,
right.
It's just a lot. I don't really care to deal with that ever again, I don't think, right now, at least in my life. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll change my mind when maybe I stop taking Prozac or something. But until then, the SSRIs is shutting me up.
The SSRIs, bro, they dry you up.
I'm cool with it.
I totally feel that. But I think it's also when you're so goal-oriented, like sex just kind of seems like, don't get me wrong, sex is great and sex is a lot of fun.
It seems like work. Time,
it's a lot of work, you know?
Yeah, it is a lot of work. Pleasing someone else while just trying to please yourself. It's like this whole primal thing that you feel disgusted about later. It's like, meh.
It's
least.
A lot of work.
That's how I am with it. Yeah. Sometimes I look back on it and I'm like, oh man, I'm disgusting. And so are they. But anyways, right, hit me with your check-in.
My check-in, my week's been crazy. I've been feeling very angry. Like I feel like I haven't been able to get control over my emotions this week, which is very odd because that's like the sole purpose of my SSRIs. And it's so strange because SSRIs, it almost feels like someone just threw a freaking like a cloak over you to hide your emotions, or just to like temper down the emotions.
It's
right?
Like they hit your emotions with morphine and they're just numbed out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's not to say I don't feel like happy all the time. I feel more happy than I do sad, which is phenomenal. But you know, I don't know if you get this way on your Prozac, but when you do have those moments of like the reason why you're taking SSRIs in the first place, like pop out, or they kind of sneak through the force field
and that,
of the SSRIs, then it feels strange.
Yeah. You feel like,
you know,
invaded. You feel like, I don't know if you've ever had someone like steal something from you before, but you almost, it's almost that kind of feeling where you feel like,
right,
like, and violated. Hey, this isn't supposed to happen, man.
Like, who are you?
Yeah. You know? What the fuck? Why are you here?
Or it's like those possession movies, you know, but the other way around, where the devil is like poking out and he's like,
yeah, no, I totally feel you, dude. You're just be going about your day. And then all of a sudden something that your SSRIs or your meds normally make you not react to, you react to, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. And so I got like visibly angry, or to the point where I could actually like sense it. But I was also proud that I was able to recognize it, and I didn't just accept being angry. I literally did everything I could in my power to, you know, hide it a little bit, because, you know, when my wife is talking to me, I'm not just going to freaking have a full blow up and make the whole thing about me and what I'm pissed off about.
Yeah.
So I was able to recognize that. I immediately kind of just went to the gym and figured my shit out and just left everything there. And I wrote something really quickly, like while I was in between like rest, I said, breathe, pause, release. Remember, it's not that deep.
I like that.
And
I have a journal entry for you too. I forgot about that.
Oh, nice.
Keep going. Sorry.
And so that helped immensely. I was not able to do that today. I got very angry today and I actually just used it. I hit a couple like PRs today and it was probably not safe, but I went fucking ape shit working out. And it's also because, you know, the music was amazing. Like it was almost like the universe said, John, just let this one slide. Just be angry. Like I think it's healthy once in a while to be angry and just let it all out. Because
it's okay to use that energy. Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a sign when Amity Afflictions Never Alone comes on. And everything about that song is everything that I've been feeling recently. Just poor sleep. Can't stop. Can't turn off my brain. So I just fucking raged through this workout and just absolutely annihilated it.
That's what's up, dude. And, hell yeah.
Yeah. And I'm excited to work out again. I'm actually working out every single day now. So I'm using my wife's treadmill on the cardio days.
Cardio sucks, dude. I know, but you got to have your core up, you know. If you don't have good cardio.
I've been honestly enjoying cardio too. And I don't want to sound preachy, but I encourage anyone who's going through any type of like mental dilemma, just try to go to the gym or try to like go do a sport.
Just because run it's like for a couple minutes.
An hour. Yeah. It's an hour and a half where you're so focused on a physical activity that you stop thinking about silly shit. And that's what I love. Yeah,
you really do. That's something that kind of brings us into our topic. But did you tell me something that you were proud of and something that you did for self-care?
I think I kind of just like lumped it all in. One more thing I want to say that I'm grateful for. I'm really grateful for this podcast because it's made me fall in love with like the type of problem solving and troubleshooting that I like to do. And I just want to say thank you, Sutton, for giving me the opportunity to edit the podcast because I don't think I've had this much fun by myself since it was my hand and my willy before Lexapro.
Stop it. Thank you. And I'm sorry that I keep talking about getting someone to edit it and then falling off on trying to find someone. I just keep forgetting. But you seem to be having fun with it, so.
Yeah, I mean,
we're
now.
For now.
I'll figure it out.
And if anyone's out there that's a sound engineer or someone that knows how to edit a podcast pretty easily, shoot me a DM. Please don't send me any feet pics, though. That'd be weird. Today, I had some random dude on Facebook send me a message, and I thought he was asking for a tattoo. He goes, "Hey, how are you?" And I was like, "What's up?" And he goes, "Can you send me some recent pictures of yourself, and then I'll send you some of me?" And I was like, "No." And he goes, "Oh, okay." And then like 20 minutes go by and he goes, "So can you tell me something about yourself?" And I was like, "Dude, what do you want?" And he's like, "Oh, I didn't realize that you were a guy. So you tattoo? Where do you tattoo?" And I was like, "What the fuck? Leave me alone, bro." I'm like, this is some weird shit.
Was he like, maybe he just woke up from a coma and he was like, "Yo, AFL." Nah.
He was just trying to be creepy and then realized I was a guy and like,
how is that possible?
I don't know.
Profile pic.
I have no idea. Maybe I'm just that sexy in other countries where they're like, "Hey, I'd schmack it."
Oh, this person was not like from the US of A?
I don't know. I'm just assuming. His profile picture, he just looked like some random European guy. So just some random white dude. I don't know. Some random dude. Wow. But anyways, let's get into our topic. Our topic this week is PMA. That is positive mental attitude. And that's not just some bullshit that I put on a hat and some bullshit that you see people put it on a hashtag. It's a mindset. It's a lifestyle. It's something that will change your life if you really focus on it and you try to live and breathe it. And something that John was just talking about in his check-in was leading me into the topic. I forget exactly what he said already, but the working out part. And I forget what the other part was. Oh, the embracing the energy into your workout and utilizing that, and you got some personal records and all this. So you take that energy and you try to spin it into something positive. But for me, it's also a lot about where I focus my energy, making sure that I only give positive things my energy and that I only put out positive energy when I do things, so that that's what I get back. Because that law of attraction that we talk about and manifestation that we talk about so much, these are all things that revolve around it. All of the things that you just gave me on the Hermetic principles, am I pronouncing that right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything you just told me, all of that has to do with manifestation and staying positive and making sure that you understand what you're putting out in the universe. That's all that is. So for example, a friend of mine is flying out to do a convention, and she's staying with some people that she's not super fond to stay with right now. They're kind of arguing, but they are very close friends, and she's going to be there for 2 weeks. So I was like, yo, if you at any point start feeling like their negativity is overwhelming you, just text me distraction, and I'll start sending you pictures and messages of stuff that you should focus on that actually deserve your energy. And I told her, don't give your energy to anything that doesn't help you grow or succeed. And she was like, thank you. I'd really love that. So that's a part of PMA, man. Positive mental attitude. You only are in control of two things in life. That's your attitude and your actions. And staying positive and having that positive mental attitude is the only thing that keeps me in check when I need to keep myself in check. Because no one else is going to do it for you. It's something I say on here all the fucking time.
Yeah. I try and have that approach, like waking up, you know, like, let's be real. Like, no one really wants to wake up and go to their job, you know, like when you're working for someone else. But I try to at least make the best of it. And like, I enjoy waking up, taking the dogs out, making their breakfast, and making my wife coffee. And that puts me into this positive mindset of I'm ready to tackle the day. And that's almost like the foreplay to checking my attitude before I step into work.
Yeah, something I try to do to keep myself in the morning and that mindset. First off, my routine, starting myself off with, and I don't do this every day, but the days that I do, man, I feel so much better. It's just, I don't have the energy in the morning sometimes for it, but starting my day off with Mr. Blue Sky, that song, is incredible. It pumps you up. It gets me in this positive mood. It makes me start thinking like, all right, I got to get up and I got to do stuff. And I got to, I feel like whatever vibration they have in that song just emits this positive energy of like, get up and go. Everything you're going to do today is important. Everything you're going to do today means something. And then when I try to set that intention and I try to, everything that I have, like you said, like the routine of feeding them, that's something I'm proud of, because I have a really strict routine of how I feed them and everything too. And they love that and they crave that. And it's something that's important. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. You know, and do you have a slow feeder for Mary?
Actually, no, but I just got one for Doja because Mary doesn't eat very fast, but Doja's like 4 months old, so she's insane and wolfs it down. And I don't even think she chews, to be honest with you. I think she's just
inhaling it.
I think she's just swallowing mouthfuls of food at a time and not getting sick somehow. And then pooping 20 times a day. But I got her a slow feeder in the mail today. So I'm going to try it out tomorrow and see how it goes. I've never tried one before for any dog.
Are pit bulls like susceptible or like prone to bloat? Because I think you mentioned that to me like one time when Mary was gulping down water.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if they are or not. And it's something that I didn't even know was a thing until like late last year. A friend of mine told me that her dog, it happened to her dog randomly. And I've been like terrified of it ever since. But Mary's never had an issue, even at 10. But now, like, I'm going to try this slow feeder out for Doja and see how it goes. Maybe Mary has been eating fast and I just didn't realize it. I know she's eating a lot faster right now because she's like, when Doja's done, she comes over and starts eating hers. And then she's like, fuck, well, there goes half my breakfast, you know? but I do split feed them now, which is nice. I think we talked about that in another episode. I feel like we talked about our dogs a lot.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, they're a big part of our lives. Like, I mean, half the our conversations are our dogs and our cats. The main issue is you have to make sure that they don't play right before and right after they eat.
Yeah, well, you want to make sure that they aren't like hot and like out of breath, because if they breathe super heavy, that's I think how it happens. Yeah. But yeah, a couple weeks ago, I'd taken Mary to the park. She was going crazy and came home and chugged a bunch of water, and I was like, "What's going on?" She was like panting and like trying to hack and shit. But anyways, we're getting off subject here. But tell me some things that you do. So, all right, you said in your check-in that you recognized that you were starting to like see the red, so to speak. You were getting mad and visibly like feeling it. Tell me some things that you do in the moment like that to try to stay positive, to try to
flip. I know what was the segue. It was the breathe, pause, and release thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's been something that I do just instinctually, because when I do get upset or angry, things escalate very, very quickly to the point where, like, I just don't make any sense. Like, it's strange. I really don't know how to describe it. When I get angry, it's almost like I'm a completely different person. And it takes a lot for me to actually get pissed off.
Yeah.
But in the few instances where it has happened, I just lose control. So, and I don't like feeling that way. So working out has definitely been a great way for me to understand like where it's coming from a little bit. And also help me realize that there are other ways or vehicles to release those feelings other than just like stewing in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think an important, it's much harder to think positively than it is to think negatively. Cause I think our brains sabotage us on a daily basis to think the worst possible outcome possible.
100%. And
we always focus on the bad things.
Yeah.
For some reason, our brains are hardwired that way to be like, oh man, I fucked this up last time.
Always. And
just so that we don't fuck it up the next time. And it just creates this unnecessary anxiety.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like, take relationships, for example. Like, typically, exes are only going to bring up the negative about what happened in a relationship, even if you had a great relationship and did a lot of awesome things together. They're usually only going to focus on the bad parts of it and the bad parts of you when they talk about it. Which is why I feel like it's important for me to, when I talk about my ex or any other ex, whether it be my ex-wife or just another significant other, to speak positively about it, because it keeps me in that mindset. It's not just like trying to flip the script like, oh shit, I'm in the moment and I'm pissed off right now. What can I do to try to turn myself around? Because sometimes you're just not going to be able to turn yourself around. But if you do these small things like remove the negative from your life entirely and just stop speaking it into existence, a lot less of it's going to come back. So instead of like when someone brings, just today I was getting my car inspected and I didn't have a piece of paperwork that I needed. And I knew my ex knew exactly where it was because it wasn't very long ago that we spoke about it. So I text her, she knew where it was. And I mentioned that she was a photographer, and the guy goes, oh, is her name so-and-so? I said, yeah. He goes, oh, she did my newborn pictures. I was like, that's super cool. And I was talking about how she has like a new building and all this stuff. And I was only speaking positive things, and he was only speaking positive things. And because of that, I didn't feel bad for talking shit. Because yeah, it's so much easier for me to be like, oh yeah, fuck her, blah, blah, blah. Things didn't work out, blah, 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 blah. But instead I was just like, yeah, she's great at what she does. And that's awesome. I'm glad that you're one of her clients. Small world. And because of that, I felt better. I didn't put any negativity out there. And because of that, I should get some positive back in some way, in some form in my life, whether it be I woke up feeling okay, or I didn't poop myself on the way home when I needed to use the bathroom. Because if you've ever done that, it's a bad feeling. You know, whatever it is, I'll get it back.
That's somehow. A great analogy, by the way, about putting things into the universe. You know, if you give shit out, you might get shit back.
You damn right. Be a dick, you might get shit on by yourself. That's a DJ Khaled quote.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
I think it's so funny. I gotta say, I love how he's taken his quotes so like seriously lately. Like he posted one the other day. He was like, make your next best move. Your next move. And then he like pauses for a minute and he looks at the camera all serious. And then he goes, but seriously though, as soon as you do, and then he like loses train of thought, picks up a shoe and goes, Michael Jordan, are you home?
Let's go golfing.
I love it when he does that stupid fucking voice. It's so great.
Dude, I was at the airport with my wife, like,
hold a chandelier.
At 6 in the morning, and we were in the line to like check our bag, and I said a stupid DJ Khaled thing, and like three other dudes behind us started saying the same thing.
Oh my God.
And like one dude was like, a crawler cappuccino, and some other dude was like, let's go golfing, bring up a whole ocean. And amazing. All of our significant others, like, it feels like all like the three couples became friends immediately. The dudes were bonding over DJ Khaled, and the girlfriend,
and the women were like, these guys are idiots.
Jesus Christ.
My favorite one, they call it a chandelier.
Have you seen that video of
when
him
backing
like
up in the golf cart?
Oh no, I was gonna say the most recent one where he had to get his bodyguards to like two bodyguards lift him up because he didn't want to get his Jordans dirty on the sand at a festival.
No,
I don't want to get my Jordans dirty. Can I get everybody to help me? Please, everybody help me.
Get on the side.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
You want to get in the back?
Can't mess up the chains.
I did not see that.
That is a huge bitch move.
That's so fucking funny. Oh my God. Anyways.
Oh man, I was going to say something real quick. You have a way more positive outlook than I do, because I like struggle with PMA all the time. And the thing is, I yearn for it. Like I tell myself, you know, be positive. Don't let the negativity win. But I think a big part of the way I live my life is I live off of like revenge and spite, which is not very healthy.
I used to be fueled on that.
Yeah, like I'm like a, you know, oh, you thought that, you know, I was just sitting around? Watch me get huge. And that's actually from an ex-girlfriend who was always trying to get me to go to the gym with her. And, you know, I started going to the gym and she found out and I'm like, yeah, love it. Absolutely killing it in the gym.
Hell yeah.
And I'll even like take it a step further and be like, what do you lift these days? Because now she's like sober, doing all this gym shit. And I'm like, yo, I cracked like 4 beers before I hit the gym. Best pre-workout I ever had.
You're ridiculous. See, I think that's healthy to an extent to use that as fuel, but you got to be able to do it for yourself too. And you told me that in an earlier episode, like that mindset of doing it, you doing it for you is different than you doing it for someone else. Or like when I think the example was, I wanted to give Jackie my phone to take care of for the day so I wouldn't get on it. But instead of that, it was like, no, I should keep it from myself. Because as soon as I give the power to someone else, it's like, you know what I mean? So don't let it get too far into that. But I love your outlook on it.
I mean, that's how it all started, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
I mentioned I'm before. Sure
that's not what you're doing all the time. Like, fuck you.
No, now it's 100% for me.
Yeah.
It's 100% for me, and it's become more enjoyable when because I used to go to the gym angry. Like state of the world, whatever like is pissing me off in the state of the world, let it out at the gym. Now that I go, you know, I work out like 9 out of 10 times that when I'm working out, it's just about chasing that, the endorphins afterwards, or like the feeling of being like accomplished. And even the days that I don't want to go to the gym, the behavioral activation sets in. And I'm like, you know, if you do it, if you work out, you're going to feel so much better. So that's just true. Focus on the end result of just getting it done. And every single time I force myself to do it, I have a blast. Yeah. Even bad workouts are good workouts.
You're right, dude. And there's so many times I talk myself out of going to the gym because I'm worried about the people there and I'm going to feel uncomfortable and I don't have the energy and yada, yada. But dude, the moment you go and you start getting a little sweat going, your energy levels kick up automatically, whether you want them to or not. You're going to fucking get a good feeling out of it, getting that sweat in, and you're going to feel good about yourself. And that's something that's a really easy way to stay in a positive attitude because you can feel great about yourself for days after a workout. You ride that high for days, especially if you're someone who doesn't work out very often. Then when you become a regular, it's like you go once a month, you're like, cool. For a week, you're like, I went to the gym last week. And then 2 weeks, you're like, oh shit, I went to the gym a couple weeks ago. But if you start going every week, oh shit, I went to the gym every week this month. Oh, I went to the gym every day this week. Fuck yeah. You're constantly riding that. And you're only going to feel better every time you go because you're going to be able to like do more, sweat less, and then eventually sweat more because you can do more. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's fucking great.
I mean, I'm just so happy that because of all the working out and conditioning, like Nana and I can literally play for hours outside.
I love that too.
And when the vet told me like, oh yeah, she could hit like 100 pounds. I was like, how the fuck am I supposed to put her in air jail? Like I need to get strong.
Air jail. I can't do that with Mary anymore, dude. She's 85 pounds and I'm not a strong boy like you.
Dude,
I can't just pick her up whenever I feel like
when she's acting up. I'm just like, let's go. And I put her like on my shoulder.
Oh my God.
And she's just like, oh fuck. Oh,
I'm
going to
start doing that with Doja whenever she's being a dick, because let me tell you something. At 4 months old, she's pretty good, but she's also pretty fucking bad. She's in the phase right now where she doesn't know to unclench. Like, she'll just bite the fuck down on my hand. And yeah, she's 4 months old, but she's a fucking pit bull bulldog. So she's got that pounds of pressure per inch like greater than a fucking shark. It's insane. And she won't let go sometimes, and she has razor sharp puppy teeth. But oh man, I can't wait to start finding little puppy teeth around when she's like in her teenager phase, and
dude, it's saving it's those. Best feeling.
It's so cute.
I have Nanas.
I've never been able to keep any because I had an ex-girlfriend. My first pit bull I ever got, I had him for 11 months, almost exactly a year, actually. And then I split up with this girl, and she had his baby teeth. And then I got married. It's been about 10 years since then. And some girl I was dating 2 or 3 years into having her stole her fucking baby teeth when we broke up because she knew that they meant something to me. And then guess what this asshole did? She resin cast them into some pendant and sold them on her fucking Etsy. This maniacal bitch sold them on her Etsy because she knew how much it would fucking hurt me. So when Doja's little baby teeth come out, I'm getting them fucking like embedded in me or something. Like no one's going to be able to take these motherfuckers. I'm going to have...
Dude, that's actually a part of hermetic magic. Like teeth and hair, that's one thing that you like never leave around. Because someone can use that against you. Mm. So, like, I never trim my nails in hotels. I never trim my pubes outside of my own house.
Oh, my God. You're silly. Oh, my God. You're so silly.
I'm just kidding.
He's like, I'm just kidding. I trim my pubes everywhere. Anyways.
You bae right here.
Oh, God. Stop it. So, what I was saying before about trying to stay positive even when you're like, say you're talking about someone that you may not necessarily be fond of. This kind of goes into the keep your friends close but enemies closer thing, and a lot of other sayings and motifs, if you will. So like, for example, there's people I don't get along with in the tattoo world. And say a client of mine gets tattooed by someone that I don't get along with, but they really love them and they really love it here. I got to stay positive and not talk shit. And I got to just, you know, brush that off or whatever the situation is. Just try to stay positive in the aspect of like, okay, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you have a great experience there. I'm so glad that you feel comfortable there and you keep going there. It's awesome to have different places to frequent, yada yada. Like look at the positive some way in that kind of situation, to put that out there versus being like, yeah, well, they said this one thing to me on Instagram that pissed me off and blah blah blah, fuck them, and then being all petty and talking shit. That's one thing that I'm really bad about. I like to talk shit. It's like an artist thing, I feel like, and it's definitely a tattooer thing. We're mega, yeah. Mega like we're dramatic, we have a lot going on, and we are confrontational and competitive, so we're always going to be like, I don't know, there's always going to be someone that I don't care who you are as an artist, there's always going to be someone that you're like, you know what, fuck them. And it may be out of like something that happened between you, or maybe out of jealousy or whatever, however, there's always
there something. Has to be like some sort of competitive, like a healthy competitiveness, unless you like just hate that the hell out of that person unrelated to art.
Yeah, that's true.
Cause I've gotten tattooed by people like, someone who has like recognized someone else's piece and they're like, oh, did Chad do that? I'm like, yeah. Do you know? He's like, yeah, he's all right. And like just by the tattoo artist saying that, and you're doing a tattoo on me, I'm like, God, I wish I wasn't here right now. If that's how you feel,
see,
you know, because you're just spreading your negativity
exactly to
something that is supposed to be a positive experience.
Yeah, you're not only like probably letting yourself down, because if you're someone like me that has a conscience and thinks about what you said later and replays it over and over and over, you're going to be like, fuck man, I shouldn't have said that. That was unnecessary. It was mean. And then I maybe made them feel uncomfortable. And yeah, they're definitely probably feeling a little bit of uncomfortability, because if you felt it, they felt it. Energies, yeah. You know, the energies are in the room. People pick up on that shit.
Yeah. Even if you don't want them, like,
yeah, no, it's
put it out there and someone's just sucking it in.
Yep. But I haven't done any shout outs this episode, and I wanted to say shout out to the Bluebird crew in Hanover, PA, for having me out last week, and all to all my Hanover clients that listen, because there are a few of them that listen. Thank you guys for having me, and all the tattoos I got to do out there were super cool, and you guys really helped me stay positive while I'm out there, and help me as an artist stay positive, because I am always fighting imposter syndrome and fighting believing that I'm a fraud and that no one actually likes my art and all this bullshit. But dude, when Missy asked me if I was only going to go out to do a painting class, she was like, "You want to guest for the week?" I said, "Yeah, I'll put up that I'm coming, but I doubt anyone books." And not being positive about it, and I was like, "But I'll put it up and I'll see if people book anyways, whatever." And then trying to be a little more positive about it, and then boom, I booked every day. I had a tattoo for every day. And I had two on the days that I wanted there to be more than one. So I booked as many as I needed and as many as I wanted. And it makes me feel great knowing that I can go to another city 3 hours away and do my job. So if I can do that 3 hours away, I can do that, 30,000 miles away or across the world. Yeah. If I felt like it. I just wanted to thank them.
Hell yeah. I actually gave them a shout out in the bio of our last episode.
Oh, sick.
So I'll definitely give them a shout out again.
Hell yeah. I appreciate it.
Link right here to their website.
Link to their site. Also, I got some cool stuff while I was there, while we're on the topic of Bluebird. So the Serpent's Key is a witchery shop underneath of Bluebird, owned by Becca, who you are friends with on Instagram, the Stitching Witch, who is the cover of our last episode. I sent her the screenshot, and I was like, "Your tattoo made it on the cover, and you need to listen to this." And she was like, "Oh, fuck yeah." And then she's like, "I feel super called out by the title."
She hit me up on DM, and we had a nice little conversation about,
that's great.
That we need rest. And I was going to save this for another episode when it called for it, but I don't know if you feel like this, right? Even though, doing like work for your own companies doesn't feel like work, but by definition, it is work
because it's energy.
And yeah. And if it's energy that you're putting into something.
Yep.
And I realized this week that I haven't had a free moment any day of this week or for I don't even know how long. And I haven't just had like a day where I chose to just do nothing. I have days where my body is completely shut down just because I need rest, but yeah. I've never specifically chose to rest.
Bro, you have to.
And yeah. And I think the reason why I thought about this was this, I saw something online where this girl was doing like content creation, inspiration, bullshit. And she was like, "Yeah, if you have a full-time job, create content during your lunch break." I'm like, and I immediately thought to myself, so what you're trying to tell me is from the waking hours that I'm at work, the 1 hour that I get to eat lunch,
I had to film it.
I have to do more work.
Fuck that.
Like every hour I have to do some sort of work. And then I changed my mindset a little bit where I was like, maybe I should stop, like in my scheduling apps, I should stop calling it personal work. I should call it like personal time, because I think a lot of people feel this way now too. Now that there's this shift in people's mindsets about how we treat work, right? Work and life balance. That yeah. Work has a negative connotation because it's like we work to survive. So I think I need to stop using the word work because it implies like I have to do it versus when I used to draw because I wanted to draw or do all the social media scheduling or create content. I wanted to do it. But as soon as I say work, I think mentally – yeah, I think I need to like call it like John's creative time.
Maybe that's something. Like that. Yeah, maybe that's the vibration you're putting out into it.
Yeah, it's the energy, right. Man.
Yeah, it's the energy, like, you're putting into it. The title is just, it's skewed. You need to change that.
Well, I fully believe that words hold, like, magic. Like,
oh, they have a energy. Lot of power.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we love curse words so much, because the emphasis in curse words gets the point across.
You know, sticks and stones, you know, break bones. Words always hurt me extra hard. That is how saying goes, yes?
No, words will never hurt me.
Oh, that was bullshit. Wrong. This is
that
bullshit.
That is 100% bullshit.
I don't know why I'm Russian, but we will remake this saying right now, okay? It is stick and stone hurt bone, words break them into half, okay? This is Comrade Self-Care Sutton stating fact. Words hurt, and they have a lot more meaning behind them than people give them to. And that's exactly why we have to try to stay positive in what we're saying, man, because the energy we put out, we get back. I'm going to say it a million times. You guys have to drill that into your head. You have to tell yourself, if I'm going to give this thing energy, what I get back, is it worth what I put in? Okay, so if you are, let's go back to the relationship thing. If you're in a relationship and you're giving it more negative energy, you're only going to get that back. So if you only put in positive, you're only going to get positive back. Just fucking drop all the bullshit and get it out of your head, man. It's so easy to say it, and it's so hard to do in the moment, especially, but you'll know in the moment exactly what I'm talking about if you think about this. And the more you train your brain to think in the moment of, okay, whatever situation's going on right now, think positively. Like, the last 6 months I've been so worried because I didn't have a shower. I was like, I'm homeless. Oh, I don't have a fucking kitchen. I'm homeless. Oh, I have a roof over my head. I have a car to drive. I have people that love me. I have a clothing company, a tattoo shop. I have a podcast, a best friend to host the podcast with, friends to talk to on a daily basis to help me through life. I have so many incredible things that I have never had all at once before. And now I have a fucking apartment. But there is a little bit of bad news about that. But I'm just spinning that into some positive too. And here's a good situation. Okay, so I wanted to completely renovate this apartment before I moved in. And then guess what? I found out right before moving in that it has bed bugs.
No!
100% has bed bugs. Me and a client of mine who cleans for us sometimes, who's more of a friend, we're upstairs cleaning, and I saw one, and I was like, uh-oh, what the fuck is this? We looked it up. It was one of those.
Are you sure it's not a bat bug, though? Because if they're big...
No,
if they're big,
not.
Oh, shit.
Trust me, I know. Anyways, contacted my landlord. He's super awesome, and he took care of it. Immediately got pest people out there like the next day. It's already taken care of. But to try to spin it into some positive, I'm just going to like gut it. I'm going to tear the carpet out. And my goal was to have an Airbnb so that when I'm not at home, it's an Airbnb. When I am at home, I live there. But I've been trying to think about maybe being away from Uniontown 1 week out of the month. So 1 week out of the month, I can utilize that as extra income. So this is just another reason for me to really up my ante in making this apartment look really fucking nice. Everything I do for it is going to be extra nice. And now I'm starting literally from the ground up, and I'll have zero worry of if anything is wrong with this apartment. Because I did kind of wonder if, you know, there was anything wonky about it.
It's
a bunch of steps. It's in kind of a dirty hallway to get there. I'm like, I don't know. And it's in.
You always
got to
be a little suspicious. You got to be a little suspicious
now,
when there's carpet.
I don't have to be any. There's no suspicion. I'm getting rid of the carpet entirely. I'm getting either new carpet or fucking hardwood floors put in, or not hardwoods, but you know what I'm saying. That's
like the vinyl shit.
Yeah, something.
That shit's what's up.
something not super expensive, but water resistant. Anyways, I got off on a tangent, but I'm just trying to stay positive on it. All right, now, yes, I have another curveball, but that's okay. Run with the punches. Keep moving. Look at the big picture of things. Don't focus on the now. Focus on the later. Because, yes, living in the moment is great, but you got to think about what's coming. So it's going to take me a little bit longer to get my apartment in shape, but now I have to like kind of fine tune it a little bit more, and it's going to be nicer. So that's okay. Yeah. And you know what? The best part about all that is I got a month free for that.
Dude, there you go.
I was like, hey, is there any way we could knock a little something off since I haven't paid you yet for it? And he was like, dude, you can have this whole month free. Just start paying next month. I'm not going to have you pay for something that's not livable. Like, that's not right.
Yeah.
He's the coolest landlord I've ever had. Actually, I sent him last week's episode or this week's episode because he's like me and is a business owner running around doing shit constantly. So I was like, yeah, you need to listen to this and give yourself a little break. He was like, okay, I'll listen to it. So I hope he did. That'd be really cool.
Dude, I love the way that your brain thinks. Like, the Airbnb thing is genius. And I think about that shit too, but like, this is why I'm so happy we have the podcast. Cause when I told you about the, hey, what if I was the wholesaler? What if I was the broker for like, these t-shirt blanks? And you're like, dude, don't do it. You know? And it's nice to like snowball those, like, just kind of riff those ideas.
No, you're right.
But, I'm going to give her another shout out, and she's a listener of ours, Kylie Sequoy. She's a business coach, and she posts a lot of, you know, inspirational stuff for small business owners.
Yeah, and she's awesome. We've chatted here and there ever since you mentioned her that one time.
Yeah. She puts out invaluable like content for free.
Oh, 100%.
I guess Wednesdays are her rest days, like her designated rest days. And she said something that resonated with me that, she said, doing nothing is productive. And I was like, damn, that's so true. Because like, if I just like silenced all of the obligations for that one day to just designate it to rest, think about how fresh I'll be for all the other shit going on. Because honestly, dude, self-care can be exhausting sometimes.
Oh yeah.
You know, routines just the mental, mental gymnastics of just trying to like get your routines in check and like having to go through this like wave roller coaster of emotions of like, oh, I don't want to go to the gym, but I have to. Oh, I love the gym. Like that's exhausting in itself.
Oh, I know.
So just having one day to just have a mental and physical rest, I think it's very healthy to have. And that's what made me think about every single working hour I'm doing something, whether it's, you know, making sure the house is clean, taking care of the dogs, making coffee for my wife. I'm constantly moving and doing something for someone else. And this is like an ongoing theme that we have in the podcast of like, what are you doing for yourself?
Yeah.
I don't,
not much.
We don't have that rest day.
Yeah. Well, technically I used to. Sunday was my rest day, and I would, because I had a house with a yard and a washer and dryer, I could just wake up, let the dogs out, do my laundry, go back to sleep. And I would literally take Sunday to sleep on and off all day. I'd wake up to flip my laundry, you know, throw stuff in the dryer, put more stuff in the washer, go back to sleep. And me and the dogs and my wife would just nap all day, and it was fantastic. And now Sundays, like I don't have a yard and I don't have a washer and dryer. So Sundays I wake up, I do my routine, which involves, you know, getting both dogs leashed up and collared up and walked. A puppy, walking her is a pain in the ass. She doesn't like going outside because it's cold. And when I get her leash, she runs away from me and hides. It's this whole thing. I can't just open the door and they run out. Then I gotta get her in her kennel and get the house puppy proofed in case she breaks out to go do my laundry. And, you know, that takes at least 2 hours and I gotta sit there during all that.
Yeah.
It's not restful anymore, but something you were saying, earlier about like scheduling, time, rest for yourself. I think I indirectly did that earlier when you text me while you were working out, which is something you almost always do on Thursdays before the podcast. And it's almost always as I'm about to take a nap. And I think Thursdays, I may just have a little nap before I get on here because I feel like halfway through the week, I deserve a little nap. Why not? Just turn my brain off for 2 or 3 hours and take a nap with the girls, which is exactly what I did. Both of the dogs just laid on me, and Doja laid right on my shoulder. You know how when they lay right on your shoulder with their face on your face? It's like the best feeling ever. And you only have that for so long when they're puppies. So that was
pretty cool. I know. I will sacrifice, like, I will hold my piss in for as long as they want to lay on me.
Oh.
I don't care if I need to piss,
If you're a listener and you've ever gotten up and disturbed your cat or dog or animal's comfort just to use the bathroom or get something to eat or a drink, how fucking dare you? You just don't even listen to us anymore. Just unsubscribe.
Who raised
you? We don't want you here. Fuck you. Anyways, I think that's about all I got on staying positive, man. I mean, I try to just put the energy out there that I want to get back. And as long as I stay in that mindset, it works out. It's hard to stay in that mindset, but I have people around me in that same mindset, which is why, you know, you put it out, you get it back. Like, I don't know how many times I can say it. It's as simple as that, man. It's really as simple as that. And I will always have as much of what I need for as long as I need, as long as I continue to do the next right thing and listen to my gut and try to stay positive.
I'm going to close out with, you know, like I said, it's super easy to get sucked into the negativity and just let you like sink in it or let it drag you down. And I think that's okay that, you know, you should allow yourself to feel the entire spectrum of emotions, sad, angry, happy, neutral. But like when it comes to anger and sadness, give yourself a set amount of time to just be angry, be sad, let it out.
I like your 5 minute rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give yourself 5-10 minutes.
Wallow.
Step away from whatever environment is getting you upset. If you're in an office and there's some drama going on with a coworker or with work, you need to just step away. You need to leave that setting. As soon as you leave that setting, your mind and your body are going to reset. Go outside, take a couple deep breaths. I know this sounds super cliche, but like just go outside, give yourself those 5 minutes to reset. I guarantee you within those 5-10 minutes, you're going to realize whatever you're angry about or whatever feelings you have towards someone who like may have been condescending to you or whatever is pissing you off in general, like it doesn't matter. Tomorrow's going to be a new day and it's going to be different.
And that reminded me.
And then you just reset.
Oh, that reminded me of my journal entry that I didn't tell you about. It hits right on subject with that. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving to do my laundry. I started having a panic attack, dude, and I didn't have my Shakti mat with me, which is what I normally utilize when I'm having an anxiety or a panic attack. And when I'm having a panic attack, I start getting overwhelmed, all my sensories overload, and everything is too loud. My head starts hurting. Everything's too bright. My stomach starts hurting, and all overall, I just feel this like red warmth, and it's this really uncomfortable feeling. So I thought about those breathing treatments you were telling me about, and I thought about that one that I saw that was like take 25 deep breaths. So I was literally freaking the fuck out, full on panic attack, driving back home to try to get my Shakti mat, and it's about a 5 minute drive between the laundromat and my house, and I'm taking 25 exaggerated breaths, really long. It took me about...
Sounds like the Wim Hof one that I sent you.
Yeah, it took me about 2 minutes to fully do all the breaths. By the time I did that, I started to kind of make myself hyperventilate, which one helped my panic attack go away, but then two, I lost the oxygen to my hands, and my hands just locked up like this,
dude, because it's I started to hyperventilate.
But I'll tell you what, because I made myself hyperventilate, basically, I got rid of my panic attack. The only thing that sucked was because I have carpal tunnel and arthritis, when I hyperventilate, it really fucks my hand up for like the next day or two. Like my hands ache for the next few days because of how cramped they got. When your hands, you guys don't understand how important oxygen is. If you don't have oxygen going to your limbs, they literally shut off. When you hyperventilate, sometimes your brain will shut off the oxygen going to anything except for your brain. It'll only send it to your brain and your organs. So you won't like be survival able to talk. Mode. You'll sound mumbly, like you'll sound like you have had an allergic reaction or something, that your tongue's too big. And you won't be able to move your limbs and it's crazy, man. But that was my journal entry. I jotted down in my phone afterwards. I was like, had a panic attack today. Tried breathing exercises, hyperventilated, not sure if this is a better idea than my Shakti. And now, dude, I just have to make sure I have my Shakti everywhere with me. Sponsored by Shakti, please.
We should, man.
Yeah.
I was looking into the Shakti mats and the, like, the science behind it sounds awesome. It's so incredible. I might actually try it.
I highly recommend it.
Because like, I don't always remember to do breathing exercises. And that's one thing that I'm still struggling with, is because I've been so stuck in that mindset of sitting in my anger and letting my anger fix things for such a long time that and this is what I'm saying by like, sometimes the anger is blinding, where I just want to sit in it and I want to push through it and just use that anger as like fuel.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy.
No, it's not.
Because the quality of work is completely terrible. But the breathing exercise thing, when I first did it, when my buddy first introduced me to the Wim Hof breathing, because he started doing cold plunges and sensory deprivation. This is like before it became super trendy. Like everyone and their fucking mom's doing it.
Everyone's got a fucking ice bath now.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, you got a bathtub, throw some ice cubes in there, sit in it.
Yeah.
That's what me and my buddy were doing. And the Wim Hof breathing came into play because the guy who invented this breathing exercise, Wim Hof, he was able to breathe in freezing temperatures with just a pair of swim shorts because of this breathing exercise, because it takes your mind away from the pain and you just focus on breathing.
Yeah.
So when I first did it, dude, when I first did it, I freaked the fuck out because like I was having like some sort of adverse reaction to it mentally and physically. I felt my face like seize up, like my face got tight.
Yeah, dude, that's
hyperventilating. And my eye was twitching.
Yes.
Dude, it freaked me out. And I felt really queasy and nauseous.
Yeah.
But then I started doing it more, and it's because like your body, it's the same, almost same reaction that you would have when you're onboarding SSRIs, where your body, it doesn't know how to treat this weird influx of serotonin.
Yeah.
So right. Like if that ain't like real, I don't know. And if you don't believe me, try the breathing exercises.
Try it yourself, fuckers.
Literally, I'll link it. I'll link the YouTube guide, the dummy's guide to Wim Hof breathing.
Hell yeah. Fuck, there was one other thing I was going to say, but I don't remember now. It's not that important anyways. Oh, no, I was going to say, like the science behind the Shakti, I don't know all of it, but I know some of it. And I can tell you that it helps me in so many ways. Like, dude, right now, about 45 minutes ago, I started to feel a migraine come on. And right now, my head's throbbing like a fucking son of a bitch. Like, it's full-on migraine. After this, I'm probably going to puke and then get on my Shakti mat, and it's going to make my migraine go away. I can almost guarantee within a half an hour of laying on that thing, if I put it in a certain point on my body, it's going to get rid of my migraine for me, and I won't have to take Tylenol. I was going to take Tylenol when I felt it come on, but I'm trying to take less medicine, and a little bit of pain is okay to go through. I'm okay with that. But
yeah,
we should go ahead and end it because we tried to about 10 minutes ago. I'm glad that we talked about the breathing exercises, though, because it's something that I want to do more often.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, and my favorite platform that we are on, YouTube. So go and check it out. I guarantee you the YouTube is better than the audio. It's definitely more fun. So, you know, and maybe once in a while we'll slip a little nip if YouTube guidelines allow it.
I just did.
So there you go. Go ahead. You know, add us to your favorites. Give us a 5-star review. Make sure to subscribe and all that jazz.
Call us handsome.
Call us ugly. I don't care.
I hope that, yeah, that's true. I don't care. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening. And if you didn't, then fuck you!